Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm excited to be here as usual. Thanks for joining us today. My guest today is Georgia Writers Association president, author, and blogger, Sherry Miller. And Sherry will be coming on talking to us today about her blog, Pet Peeves, which features a lot of helpful articles and advice for people and their pets, as well as the blog entries about the animals that we have pet peeves about, or silly little things, or things that maybe get on our nerves a little bit about our animals as well. So we'll talk to Sherry here in a moment about her blog, Pet Peeves. But first, I'd like to talk to you about a wonderful site. I want to make sure everybody's aware of it. It's called freekibble.com. Freekibble.com. Freekibble.com was started by an 11-year-old by the name of Mimi Osland. And one day, you know, Mimi decided that she wanted to do a little bit more to help the animals, help feed the animals, the hungry cats and dogs at her local animal shelter in Bend, Oregon, was her first effort. And so she got the word out, started getting donations, started getting food together, and came up this wonderful program called FreeKibble.com. Since then, it's expanded rapidly. It's a nationwide program. And supports animals in shelters and providing them free kibble and helping them maintain themselves while they're in the shelters looking for their right and perfect forever homes. As you know, there are tens of thousands of dogs and cats in animal shelters across the country, and Mimi and her team wanted to do something to help. And, you know, all those animals need fed a good meal several times a day, as I know, as a former president of a local humane society myself. You can never have too much great kibble for the animals. It's a fun site as well because you can go on the site on a daily basis and play games that you can choose to represent a particular shelter or rescue organization. You play games on there, and for every correct answer you get on these trivia type games, the freekibble.com will donate to your local shelter or your local rescue group that you are representing. So it's an exciting program. Freekibble.com was launched in April 2008. And, you know, their primary mission is to provide healthy, nutritious food to dogs and cats at shelters who are working so hard to get all those animals adopted, make sure they're fed so they don't go hungry. And, you know, they need our help. So in addition to providing free kibble to her local group, the Humane Society of Central Oregon, Mimi and Free Kibble are feeding as many as thousands of dogs and cats in shelters across the nation, rescues through food banks across the country every single day. So it's a wonderful program. They've actually teamed up with Halo as well. So the Halo group is teaming up with them and providing kibble as well. So to find out more about it and to sign up for your local rescue or shelter and have fun playing the games and get those puppies and kitties fed, you can find out more information by going to freekibble.com. Or, as always, go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on the Animal Rights blog, and we'll have the website information there and a little bit more detail about FreeKibble.com. It's a great program. Mimi Osland doing great. Young girl doing fantastic work. So FreeKibble.com, so check it out. We'll be right back in just a moment. We're going to be talking to Sherry Miller right after these messages. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
I play tennis because I love to. But inside, I want to win. Take away the court, the net. I might not be a player, but I'll always be a competitor. Lady Foot Locker understands that.
Lady Foot Locker, the first to carry Adidas off-court shoes and the gear that goes with them.
If you play your best, there's no regret.
Lady Foot Locker, one place, every woman.
Go to LadyFootLocker.com and enter the code AF ANW1LF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2LF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at LadyFootLocker.com.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List, which you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/rights and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/rights, WRITES.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out in the world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is Sherry Miller. Sherry, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
It's a great pleasure. Now, you have a wonderful little blog site. It's not even a little blog site. It's growing rapidly. Called
yes,
Pet Peeves.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the blog site, Pet Peeves?
Well, I got inspired because I'm a mom of seven sons, and that means that I, by default, have become a pet mommy to all kinds of pets that I personally wouldn't choose. For about 4 years, we had two 12-foot Burmese pythons that lived in the basement.
Okay.
And that's an example. And then right now we have two leopard geckos. And, you know, I prefer my pets with fur on, not slimy and scaly. But I also started this as kind of a place for people to, that when you do sometimes express frustration with pets, and you want to find answers to those puzzling behaviors to make your life smoother with your pet. So I wanted to provide a place where people could go for answers, and then also maybe share their stories that they don't want to tell anybody about, you know, like what they really do behind closed doors for their pets. So that's kind of what inspired Pet Peeves.
Yeah, and Pet Peeves, you know, has wonderful information, fun little articles, little pet peeves on there. And it's about, like you said, all the different types of animals. Because I talk to people all the time, you know, we typically think of a domestic animal as a dog or a cat, or if you live on a farm, you may have a horse. But our young teenagers definitely like the geckos and the snakes and all those wonderful animals as well.
I was kind of surprised about the 12-foot snakes. But, you know, there's always something new at our house.
Exactly. Well, it's exciting. They're fun animals once you get to know them. Great, great animals, actually. Now, tell us a little bit about blogging in general. I think the listeners are wanting to know a little bit more about when they think of blogs, it may be just putting down ideas and thoughts, but there's really a lot to go into putting together a blog site and getting people to write articles for you and writing your own articles. Give us a little bit about how the trials and tribulations of that.
Well, actually, I call it my accidental writing project. I never planned on having a blog. My husband writes for 3 blogs. And I wanted to make his blogs more successful so he'd have a bigger audience. So I went to Hollis Gillespie's blog workshop about a year ago, and I was dutifully writing down all of the things he needed to do to make his blogs better, and I was going to go back and tell him about it. And then one night he was picking up our 17-year-old cat off of our bed and moving him to the other bedroom so that we could go to bed at night. And he said something like, why don't we move our biggest pet peeve, you know, out of the bedroom? And for some reason, that was just an inspiration. You know, Pet Peeves would be a great great title for what I was thinking of. And so I had, in grad school, I got my master's in professional writing here at Kennesaw State. I had been blog burned, if you will. One of our semesters, the assignment was to write a blog every day for a semester. And that just about killed me. It really
mm-hmm.
did.
It is a lot of work.
Well, it is a lot of work, but also it's very hard when it's kind of free form and you don't have a topic and you don't have a niche. And I think when I had the topic and the niche all come together, it made blogging so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I think looking back when blogs really started to come out and become popular, it was for the most part just random thoughts and ideas. I knew a lot of people that blogged that basically just said, hey, I got up and ate Cheerios today. But now it's
we all know how boring those are.
Exactly. Unless you really are interested in either Cheerios or your friend writing about them. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But having a particular topic and trying to get great information out there as well as make it fun and interesting, it can be a big challenge. And doing it daily is it's a lot more work than people may anticipate.
Yeah, that's true. And but one of the things is I had I've been writing for about 20 years, and my main favorite form of writing is short pieces. Like I did a newspaper column for 8 years up in Chicago called Kidding Around. So I already was used to the coming up with things, you know, on demand, you know, on a schedule that you had to do every week. And so I already had that kind of training, and then I also had done some news articles and things like that. So I already had the ability to write. It just needed a place to put it. So that's really how the blog has worked for me.
That's great. That's great. What are, when we go to the website, go to the pet-peeves.org site, what are some of the more interesting articles or advice that our listeners can find on the blog site?
Well, a lot of the inspiration, if you will, comes from my own pets. And I have my son works for a vet, which if you know anything about people who work for a vet, they often get animals that are injured, that are strays. And so I have a stray that my son talked me into, and she's an American bulldog. And she, I love her with all my heart. I really do. But she treats our new deck like a big chew toy. So, you know, at first I thought it was a beaver because we live on Lake Alatoona, and I thought, you know, is there a beaver coming up on our deck, chewing up this deck? And then one day I looked out the window, and there she was, kind of noshing on the support railings, and I thought, yeah, it's her, you know? So I have articles that I have gone and maybe found an expert on a certain thing, or I've asked a guest blogger to write about that, or I've researched it and written an article myself. I have one on coming up in May. I've got a couple good ones coming up. Someone had written me and said that their three dogs used to get along really great, but then all of a sudden started squabbling and fighting. I can relate to that. My husband and I blended a family of seven boys, and I had no idea that our dogs would never blend. But his golden retriever and my Chow Chow would fight to the death rather than get along. So that's a topic that's close to my heart. So if I could find a way to help people that are having that issue, because that is very distressing to have your dog siblings, if you will, trying to kill each other. So
yeah, well, absolutely. I think a lot of times when people think that, you know, when they're getting together, they're getting married, they think about how can we live together? And then you couple that with adding seven boys in the household, you think, Well, how are we going to handle that? But then people often forget you got to get those animals used to each other. It's a whole new setup for them and a whole routine change for them as well. So they've got to get used to the situation.
And they were older dogs. And I heard about one couple that actually lived in different houses until their dogs died because they could never get them to mesh. So it could be a big problem for a lot of people.
Not a good way to start a relationship, that's for sure.
No, separate houses are kind of expensive. So, and also another dog that we have is Maggie. So Lucille is the bulldog that we got this last year. And Maggie is a mutt that my son's girlfriend was at Kroger, and someone had a box full of puppies. And of course she thought, you know, our house just didn't have enough excitement. So she brought Maggie to our house. And I will say this is probably more my fault than her fault, but she loves to escape. She's just a Houdini, you know, when it comes to getting away. And so once she's out, she loves the lake. So she loves to run down by the lake and swim. But once she's out, you cannot catch that dog. And, you know, sometimes I'm running around the neighborhood chasing her because I'm afraid she's going to get hit by a car, you know. And I'm muttering to myself, I have a master's degree. I should be able to make this dog, figure this dog out. But I have not figured it out yet. Once Maggie is loose, she decides when she comes in. So there's always a point in this process that she will just give up and sit, and I let you put clip or leash on and bring her back home. But until she decides, there's just no way to get a hold of her. So those kind of issues I think people have to deal with, and it's great if I could find somebody to fix that one for me. But until then, I'll chase around the neighborhood.
There you go. A lot of times they have selective hearings, what I say.
Is that it?
Yeah, especially they're like, you know, they are like our children also. They know what buttons they can push and what they can get away with. So as long as they can get away with it a little bit, that's what they'll do.
Well, you know, if her fun hasn't finished up yet, she's just not coming in. So one day my neighbor, I was in his backyard, you know, asked if she was a hyena because of her, she's brindle colored, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's her wildness. I don't know what it is, but I said, no hyenas. We have other kind of pets, but no hyenas, just dogs.
Of course, she's probably having a good time laughing at you as you're chasing her around the...
Yes. You know, I had the same feeling. When I was younger, I worked in a professional show kennel for golden retrievers and malamutes, and I used to own a dog that was actually, believe it or not, champion in the United States, champion in Canada. And we had gone all the way through CDX training, if you know what that means, from mm-hmm. obedience.
Right.
And I had to chase him around the neighborhood, too. I don't know what it is about me and dogs. He was great in the ring. And outside of the ring, forget it, you know? So.
Right. Well, he knew when he was in the ring, he knew he had a specific job to do and stay focused on things.
Yeah.
And when he was out and about, it was freedom. It's you know, letting him run around like crazy. Yeah, it's always harder. It's always harder. You know, as you know, I work with animals every single day, and I've got my plethora of animals that we have as our family here at the house. And the people I work with and the animals I work with tend to listen a lot better than my own animals. So,
I know. They know your soft spots. But I can remember, because we, you know, would often put in the paper when he won an award. You know, that was my dog, Marty. He was a schnauzer, actually. And you know how hard-headed they can be. But I can remember a neighbor looking up and going, isn't that the one that was just in the paper? I was like, yes, that's the one.
That's right. Yeah, my boy Buzz, he's a schnauzer, and he's probably the most intelligent dog I've ever seen in my life. But he knows when to use that selective hearing to get his way.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So...
All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. So we'll continue our conversation with Sherry Miller from Pet Peeves right after these messages. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to kidsfootlocker.com and enter the code AFANW1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at kidsfootlocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
Would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. We're here with Sherry Miller, who is the Georgia Writers Association president. She's an author, and she's got a wonderful blog called Pet Peeves. Check it out. It's pet-peeves.org. Now, Sherry, you have a page on your blog that promotes animal rescues and upcoming events that the rescue organizations are hosting. Tell us a little bit about that page and how can people submit information to that particular page?
Well, I've done the blog for about a year, and as you said, it has gone, it's doing really well in terms of people having an audience and people coming to it. So I did some research on this last year, and I found two things that people really liked. Number one, they liked guest posters. In fact, the things that you've sent me, Tim, have been
sure.
really popular. And the second thing that they liked is they liked to learn about upcoming events that were in the area. And kind of the rescue information kind of came out from my son, also the one that works at the vet. The vet there has a really soft heart for strays, and so they always have a couple of them around. And one of them was a Doberman that someone had brought in to be put to sleep because their owner couldn't take care of him anymore. And he was a young dog, so she convinced him to turn him over to her. And so I did my first transport of transporting Duke to go up north to a new home in Illinois. So I kind of started learning about the things that rescue groups are doing to really save dogs' lives. And so I found that with the events being so popular, I could very easily just make a page. So I just started making a page and finding rescue events and putting them up there as kind of my way to contribute, since my husband said two dogs are enough. So I can't bring any more home.
That could be dangerous listing and participating in some of the rescue fairs and fundraisers. All those beautiful animals that are there, it can be a challenge not to bring another one home.
It is. Well, you know, when I was working in the show kennel, I think we had about 25 or 30 dogs that were there all the time. And so, you know, 3-4 doesn't sound like a lot to me, but to my husband it sounds like a lot. So actually, I'm attending two rescue events coming up in the next couple of weeks, if I can tell you about them. One
sure.
is this Saturday. It's called PASTA for Overpopulation Prevention. It's going to be in my hometown of Ackworth. And it is sponsored by the Spay-Neuter Coalition of Georgia. And then in May 1st, I'm going to be attending the Pet Cotillion, which is going to be hosted by Vicki Locke. And it benefits PALS, which is Pets Are Loving Support. And they kind of help maintain pets in people that have a terminal illness, like maybe they have cancer or things like that. But that one is on May 1st down in Atlanta. I'm looking forward to meeting Victoria Stillwell from Animal Planet. So I'm hoping also to interview both of these women about the type of things that they're involved in.
Absolutely. And Victoria Stillwell is a part of Pet Life Radio with her Positively Podcast radio show as well. And we're delighted to have her on board, and she does great work, and obviously great work around the Atlanta, Georgia area. And I'm glad you post those. As you know, I participate in quite a few rescue organization events, either speaking, signing, or doing consultations. So there's a couple of them coming up that I'm supporting as well, going to be there. So it's take a look at that particular page on pet-peeves.org and find out how you can participate. And I think the great thing about it is it's not just all pets for adoption. Of course, they're there, and we want to find them the right and perfect forever homes, but they're great causes. Things like bringing awareness to how important spay and neutering your animals are, and putting together programs that support cancer survivors and cancer victims, and even some with cancer within animals. And it's so these great groups, we applaud them every day for doing such wonderful work. And thank you for putting a page dedicated to them and all their wonderful efforts.
Well, that was just an easy thing to do, and I don't know why I didn't think of it earlier. So I'm glad to have the feedback from the audience on what they would want to see. So
it's always good to have that feedback from the audience.
Oh, it is. It is, and also to look at that. So because my favorite thing that I like to do is kind of humor has always been my favorite kind of writing, so I kind of like to add that, but it's good to mix it up with other things like events and practical advice for people.
Yeah, and I think it's important for a website or a blog to have a good mixture of things that people can enjoy mm-hmm. and learn from. Now, Sherry, in addition to being writing for the Pet Peeves blog, you work at Kennesaw State University, and as you mentioned earlier, you work in the Masters of America Studies program, and you have a master's in professional writing. Tell us a little bit about how writing for a blog either helps support those areas, or how do those areas help support what you're doing with writing the Pet Peeves blog?
Well, actually, my company, Kennesaw State, sent me to that first blog camp with Hollis Gillespie, and the Pet Peeves was supposed to be my practice blog. In other words, I'd never done it before other than in a school setting, so I wanted to kind of practice with the pet one. Obviously, it's gone farther than I ever planned, and I've also learned kind of things. Content is a big job, and providing content that people really want to work to read is a lot of work. And so what I've done with the American Studies is kind of restricted it just to, let's say, a Facebook page and an internal listserv, because that's our audience is very, very small, and American Studies is such a broad category. The master's degree here is kind of studying American culture and also our transactions with other cultures. So it can be very broad. It could be music or film, or it could be history or literature. It's just very, very broad. So very hard to blog about something that's so broad. So I think one of the benefits for me being a blogger is that it's allowed me to be seen in other audiences outside of campus, and people are made aware of campus. But I really love working for Kennesaw. We just got named one of the top 100 places to work in Atlanta, and I agree mm-hmm. with that because it's a great environment to be involved in.
Yeah, it's a great university, ever growing, expanding quite rapidly, actually.
I don't know where we're going to put all those new students, but they're coming. In fact, they're doing parent orientations next week here on campus for everybody coming this fall. So that is always a busy time around the campus, and a lot of excitement. There's always a really great buzz around here, people being really excited about what I always think of it as achieving their dreams, you know, getting the skills to achieve their dreams. And, you know, just as an example, when I got my master's in professional writing, 2007 is when I graduated. Well, since then, every year since then, I have written a book. I wrote one in 2009, 2010. And I've got a new one coming out next month that I co-wrote with my husband. So it's really given me a lot of helping me, you know, achieve my dreams and achieve my goals. So it's been a great, great, great place.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as I mentioned earlier, you're the president of the Georgia Writers Association, and everybody can check that out at georgiawriters.org, and we'll also have that posted on our animal rights site on Pet Life Radio. You know, it's a nonprofit organization committed to authors and education and literary events throughout the state of Georgia. I'm a proud member, I'll say, so I'm glad to be part of that organization. But one of the questions I wanted to ask is, within the organization, the Georgia Writers Association, how has your website, your blog, site, as well as bloggers in general, been accepted within the community? Because there's a lot of authors, a lot of well-known authors there as well. What's their viewpoint, or what's their take, do you think, on blogging compared to writing or publishing?
Yeah, well, Georgia Writers has actually been around and given out the prestigious Georgia Author of the Year Award since 48 years now. Wow. In a row. So I'm sure that the Georgia Writers itself has seen a morphing from, you know, things that they hadn't even dreamed of for this 2011. So publishing itself is in such a flux. I mean, that's one of the reasons my husband Steve and I wrote the book, Sell More Books. It's kind of to help people, help new authors especially, navigate this ever-changing landscape of publishing. I think that blogging is a wonderful tool. I don't think it's for everybody. And, you know, sometimes you read things that say that if you're an author and you write a book, you should blog about it. I don't think that's the best advice for everybody, because it is a time sucker, you know, if you do a successful job. And if you have a topic that is just not able to sustain a 365-day-a-year blog, it would be very difficult. Just kind of like when my first semester of grad school, when they asked me to blog. So I think that it's a great place for authors who want to really explore a niche topic. And in blogging, in the blogging world, you really stand or fall on your writing skills. If, you know, you just really don't have a great way of putting things, people tend to just drift away and not read your stuff anymore. So the best thing is, the more you write, the better you get. So blog if you feel the passion for the topic. I really, if you don't, I mean, if you have just a one-time book, like I wrote a book on Scrabble in 2009, I don't think I would ever go back to that. I don't think I would ever blog about that. So blogging is good, but not for everybody, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, so, well, you know what, writers in general, we're humans. So there may be a particular topic that we're skilled at or enjoy writing about, or like me working with pets for a living, I write mostly about animals. But there's other interests I have, and a blog site's a great way to do that, whether it's, you know, automotive maintenance or restoring a vintage car or baseball, whatever it is. You know, a blog site can be as simple as that, and you're still giving great information, you're giving humor, you're giving education to the people. So I think they can really go hand in hand. So you don't always have to think of blogging as, okay, I've got a book on this particular topic, so now I've got a blog about it. Yeah, have your blogging. It does keep that writing skills fresh, and that's the key.
It does. And I think House Gillespie is an author that's well known here in Atlanta. She wrote a weekly column for Creative Loafing for a long time, and now she writes the back page of Atlanta Magazine. And I went to her blogging workshop at the last Georgia Writers Red Clay writing workshop. And she said blogging has really saved her bacon, if you will, in that a lot of our print, you know, the venues where you can sell your writing have changed or closed or stopped buying as much writing. And so it does give you a place that you can still write and still, you know, hopefully be paid for it if you put enough time into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are plenty of opportunities out there to get paid for your writing and writing articles. Blogging is definitely a route that will lead to that as well. It's a little more challenging. Like you said, you have to navigate a little bit differently than in the past. But even though we've seen a lot of print media start to consolidate down or even in their print runs, they've expanded that to the internet. You know, so there's plenty of online magazines and newspapers and things like that that are still looking for great articles. So.
Like I said, it's the ever-changing landscape of publishing. You just have to be flexible in your writing and see where you can have the most impact, I think.
Exactly. Can't get stuck in the old school way of thinking. You got to really be flexible. I think it's a great way to put it.
But, of course, you know, with my own family being, you know, seven sons, you know, a lot of my writing, like I said, was humorous. I mean, I get a lot of good source material from my own family. So, you know, I'll give you an example. I have a blog post I wrote called Why I Have Gray Hair. And it tells about when I had to call our pediatrician for advice because our son got bit by his Burmese python and the rat he was going to feed it simultaneously. Yeah, I know. I bet the pediatrician thought I was joking, but I wasn't. You know, so a lot of the things that we can write about are just coming from our own life. And that's, you know, I think if you have a really rich life and you know a lot of people and have a lot of things going on, it gives you a lot more material, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And a dog or two. I could probably add one more. I'd probably add more.
That's right. That's right. Little plug there. And never have too many of them.
A little tiny one. Yeah.
It won't take up much room. Doesn't eat much.
That's
I think
true.
Your husband hears this, he's going to roll his eyes.
I know. Well, the difficulty is he does have allergies to dogs, so he's being very, very... And cats. Dogs and cats. And what do we have? We have two dogs and a cat. So he's very patient with us. So.
Well, we know there's plenty of hypoallergenic dogs and cats out there, and if you need to know which ones, I've written plenty of articles about that, so we can definitely...
Oh, lovely.
So no excuses.
Whose side are you on, you know?
Always on the side of the animals, that's it.
Mm-hmm. I know. They all need a home, don't they?
They definitely do. Well, Sherry, thanks for coming on board with us today. To find out more about Sherry Miller and to read all of the interesting articles and advice, the fun, the humor, everything that's posted on the Pet Peeves blog, visit the Pet Peeves site, which is pet-peeves.org, pet-peeves.org. Or you can always go to Animal Rights on PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll have everything posted there as well. Sherry, thanks for coming on board to visit with us today. Thanks for coming on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hey, Tim, thanks for calling, and send me your best stuff, because like I said, everybody really loves the stuff that you write. So.
I appreciate that. We'll keep it posted, and we'll see if we can send you some more stuff.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
All right, well, we're coming to the end of the show today, so I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'd also like to thank Sherry Miller once again for being on the show today. Thanks to our sponsors and producers for putting on a great show and making everything possible. We do really appreciate it. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and other guests I've interviewed or will be interviewing on the Animal Rights Show, and read these stories and blogs that I have posted, please visit Pet Life Radio. That's PetLifeRadio.com. Click on the Animal Rights icon and read the blogs and download the interviews. Definitely, there's a lot of great, great stuff on there. And while you're at it, be sure to check out all the other hosts and shows that we have on PetLifeRadio.com. There's a topic and a host for just about everybody, so it's a great website, PetLifeRadio.com. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for this show, the Animal Rights Show, please email me at Tim@PetLifeRadio.com. It's Tim@PetLifeRadio.com. And I'll be glad to answer any questions you've got, entertain any comments, and see if we can get who you want to hear the most on the show. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life and share it in a blog, article, or in a book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.